Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for amazing authors and brilliant books. With me today is one of our amazing authors, Laura Dewey. Laura is the author of Shine Your Light, Illuminate Your Love, 12 Steps to Attracting the Relationship of Your Dreams. Now, Laura broke glass ceilings by becoming the first female general manager, multi-unit leader, and then partner of a leading restaurant company. The training and operation system she created grew the company from 6 regional restaurants to 145 nationwide. After receiving her master's degree in spiritual psychology, she left the restaurant business and went on to found Laura Dewey Coaching. She serves businesses and individuals and specializes in the skills of emotional intelligence and self-leadership. Laura was also named a final nominee in the Author of Influence Awards at the 2017 Orange County Women of Influence Awards. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Bethany. Thanks so much for having me.
It's so great to have you here. I'm very inspired about your book. I was checking it out. Love the topic. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your book. Like, what was the inspiration for you in writing the book? And I noticed from looking into it a little bit, you get real personal real quickly, which is amazing. I always love reading those kinds of books. So tell us a little about yourself.
I did. Well, I wrote it as my second year project in my master's program. And
oh, interesting.
I'm not sure I would have written it had that not been the case. And my purpose was my intention when writing the book was authentic self-expression. I had spent a lot of my life really uncomfortable in my skin, and so this was a way for me to break through that and just put it out there authentically, not worry about how it's going to land. It was really an exercise in self-expression. I know that's strange to say, but that's where it came from.
Well, that is so brave of you, because it requires a lot of courage to be self-expressed. And so congratulations.
Thank you. And then the topic, I found that I had a compelling story. When I shared it with people, they would just say, oh, my God, that's a great story. And so I always knew I had a book in me, and when presented with what are you going to do for your project, I thought, this is the time. It's time for me to write a book, and I think it's going to be on that, on my story, on my metamorphosis, and really it begins with a story of how my husband and I ended up together.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, the circumstances, give us a little teaser, give us a little bit more just to get us interested. Because the topic, I mean, your husband and you ended up together, but after some very interesting circumstances on your part, right?
Yes. The book basically chronicles how I went from alcoholic, highly functioning for a long time until I wasn't. So alcoholic, very closed, pretty fearful of the world, had no idea how to be close to someone, eternally single, to who I am now, which is happily married. I'm sober a long time, 13, going on 14 years. I'm open. I'm loving. Obviously, I'm open if I can share this, this stuff in the book and talk about it today.
Absolutely.
And I'm doing work that I love that really changes lives and is also a perfect expression of who I am. So it's a tremendous metamorphosis, and so the book really honors that. And it's there to help others. You know, if I can help one person, I'm glad.
Well, I love the topic. And I love the topic because I was single for eternally single too until just recently after making some big changes on myself and starting to shift how I saw the world and how I saw myself and what I believed was possible for myself. So I love it. I love, you know, and that was really, you know, the happy relationship I'm in today was only possible really because of those changes, I firmly believe. So I really resonated with what I read so far.
As I learned to accept myself, you know, perceived flaws and all, he was right there. After I accepted myself, finding him was quite simple. It was... Before that, it just couldn't happen. It couldn't happen.
So was it just acceptance of self, or was there a deeper work that you had to do on yourself, or did you have to stand up to you know, like, did you have to tell us a little bit about that process, or like what kind of changes to the self did you have to make? Did you actually have to change yourself, or did you just have to become who you really were in the first place? I don't know.
That's such a good question. So I finally got help with my drinking, and through that process of getting sober, the best thing and the hardest thing I've ever done. Beginning, but then not hard. Through that process, I really had to question everything I thought to be true about myself and about the world. And there was part of me that really believed I didn't belong out there with the people. Like, there's a lot of shame in my background. My mother was a hoarder. So I entered the world very closed and very kind of full of shame. And so it's not a great place to attract a loved one from, right?
That's for sure.
When I got sober, I just had to question everything that I believed. And it was an incredible process. And it left me so much stronger than I ever was prior. And I'm so grateful to be an alcoholic. I remember hearing those words from people. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I get it, because I wouldn't be who I am today had I not gone through that. So I've been sober about a year, and I thought, maybe, just maybe, I'm capable of having a relationship. Maybe I am, because everything told me I wasn't before that. I never even had a real boyfriend. I had a lot of friends with benefits and fling kind of stuff. Basically, I would throw myself at a guy, and then, God forbid, he wanted to keep me. Then I would make up some excuse or find a way to make him wrong, and then run as fast and as far as I could. You know, that horrible push-pull of desperation, you know. So I remember where I was in my house, and I'm like, maybe this is the time. And then I said these words. I said, God, thank you for my husband. I might cry here. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my husband. I pray that we're both doing the work necessary to meet, and that when we do, we'll have the wisdom to recognize each other and be able to do your will. And so I began saying that on a daily basis. And I never wanted to be married, really. Like, I didn't think there were any happy marriages. And for me to say the word husband in relation to myself was crazy. And there I was, believing that he was out there, and I just had to find him. What I found out later is that he was leaving a really painful divorce, and he had been dating, and he he got home from a date one night and said, "God, I can't take this anymore. If you, and here's the quote, too many crazy bitches out there. If you want me to, if you want me to be with someone, please send me my angel." And so he was saying that, I was saying mine, and, you know, in just a short time we found each other. And how cool is that?
So beautiful. That is so beautiful. I love it. I love it. And, you know, you were talking, you know, before we got on the phone together, you were talking about how a lot of the work that you do today with your clients involves the work around around emotions, but emotional intelligence, but also around self-leadership. And it sounds to me like you, at some point, really stepped up to the leadership role of your own life.
Absolutely. When I talk about self-leadership, I use the image of being in a rowboat in the middle of the ocean. And you can be working really hard, rowing and rowing and rowing, but you're not really getting anywhere because of the tide and the wind and the storms. And maybe sometimes you do make some headway, but then again, whoosh, comes the outside circumstances, and you're getting nowhere again. Well, the skills of self-leadership are like adding a motor to that boat. You can get where you want to. You can get where you want to go much faster and in a straighter line. So that began with being really self-aware. Like, who am I? What are my strengths? What am I not good at? Can I walk through this fear? How can I walk through this fear? And really being willing to learn new things. Like, we're not done. And to question our thinking, just because we think it doesn't make it true. In fact, most of what I think is suspect.
I love that. I love that.
We get in our little worlds and think that what we're thinking is valid, and many, many times it's not. There's a whole other world out there. And so to be willing to question your thinking is a big part of self-leadership. And then just
that's
experimenting
really
and trying new things. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, do you have a couple of tips for people if they're feeling a little directionless in their management of their own lives or in their leadership of their own lives? What would be a couple of things you would tell them or what advice you would give to help them to grab hold of the leadership of their lives?
Well, first and foremost, take responsibility for your life. You cannot be an effective leader or self-leader if you're blaming others, if you're blaming outside circumstances. A big part of my work is teaching about the space between what happens and how we react. There's space in there. And so many of us are living unconsciously and falling into patterns. Oh, my Lord, I had patterns. Patterns that simply existed for decades, right? And so we don't think there's any space between what happens and how we react. So I teach people to find the space, notice that it's there, and then to own that space. And what's in the space? It's what we make the stimulus or what happens mean. Right. So if it's raining and I feel, I feel stressed when it rains. Well, what's in the space between what happens and that stress? A thought that traffic is going to be hideous today. Right. So it's the thought that creates the reaction. No one teaches us this stuff in school. Emotions are thoughts felt in our body. So if you don't like how you feel, change what you think. So I teach people to own that space and to choose what they put in it. And that, in a nutshell, is self-leadership.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. And so just in case our listeners may want to reach out to you after the show or connect with you, how could they best do that?
I am Laura Dewey, and my website is lauradewey.com. And my email is laura@lauradewey.com.
Nice and easy.
It's easy. I'm in the middle of a brand evolution. I am changing into the self-leadership lab in the middle of July. I'm very excited about that. But even at that time, the Laura Dewey website will lead you there. So you can still use that old URL.
Brilliant. And your book is available, I'm assuming, on Amazon, right?
It is. It is, yes.
And the title of that, again, is Shine Your Light, Illuminate Your Love, 12 Steps to Attracting the Relationships of Your Dreams. So go to Amazon, buy it, read it. It's going to be a great read for you. So you told us that you wrote the book as the project for your master's. So I'm guessing that you had some structure there in terms of what the master's program needed or required. Is that the case? Was that helpful to you, or did that feel constricting? Tell us a little bit about the structure that existed for your writing.
Yes, and yes. I am so grateful that I had the structure. Now, I built the structure myself, right? But I wanted to finish it by a certain date. And that was so important to me because, as we all have challenges with self-leadership, I really liked the structure. I had the support of a project team. We met every other month. Each one of us helped each other work through the things that come up during our project. And so that was tremendous. I had a lot of support. And for the first book, I needed it. The next book that I write, I will lead myself effectively. And I learned so much writing that book that I'll be very ready when the next one comes through.
That's fantastic. And I love that because a lot of people are like, yes, I'm going to write a book. And they start writing it. And if you don't really have an end date, it can go on and on and on and on, and other things can take priority. So picking a date when you want to be done is fabulous. Or even picking a date like, okay, I want my first draft. I need my first draft to be done by X time.
Yes.
Then you can start working your way backwards and you can start blocking out time in your calendar. Because go ahead.
Well, I had certain milestones, of course, and I had a number of how I chose to do it is a number of pages per month, right? And then how I got there was up to me. How I got there was up to me, and there was a lot of learning along the way. But, yeah, setting a date is so important. I know someone who had the most beautiful book sitting on a shelf for 10 years, and just this year or late last year she put it out finally because there's a couple reasons. You may never finish it, but hers was done. And the other thing people fall into is they want it perfect, and you can update it and edit it till the cows come home, until you're on your deathbed. At some point, you just have to say this is fine. This is the version that's going to the world.
Absolutely. So I'd love to ask you, like, what was the hardest part of getting your book done, and what was the easiest part of the most fun for you? And I know I ask this question, and everybody always has a different answer. That it's one of the reasons I love to ask this question, because I love to see the differences and see people's authors' personalities start to show up in the way that they answer this question. So I'm just curious for you, what was the case? What was the hardest thing? And what was the most fun?
I'll start with the most fun. The most fun was the easy writing, right? The stories that were ready, the stories that I had been telling but hadn't written. So I like to call the easy writing was very fun. And also receiving, I don't know if it was, I guess the cover was very exciting. And then a finished book in my hands, of course, was very fun. The hardest part, there were two. One was finding what worked for me, the writing process that worked for me. It took a long time to find that. There was a lot of experimenting I did to get to the place that finally felt good and worked, was effective and felt good at the same time. So that was tough. I call writing a book a love-hate relationship because it really was challenging.
Sure.
And if there's easy writing, then there's hard writing, right? The writing that hasn't really been thought of, the writing that, for me, the personal stuff, I wasn't concerned with that because I'd worked through all the, you know, the voices of who am I to write a book or who's going to care. I can't share that. I'd already worked through all that stuff that blocks a lot of writers. So that wasn't there. And then what I really learned is that writing a book and finishing a book are two different things. There's a point where
that is so true.
There's a point where you have to figure out how to link it all together, make sure it's congruent, make sure it makes sense in flow, and then you have to finish it. And I remember having a lot of anxiety about how is this going to end. And eventually, you know, I tried and tried, and I had to release the trying. And I had to allow the ending to come through, and it did. And what an experience that was. So I guess that was one of the fun, too, is when the ending finally just flowed through. Oh, God. It was great.
That's beautiful. I just want to point to something that you said that I think is really important, is and you flagged it as one of the hardest things to do, I would totally agree with you, is this finding the writing process that works for you. And I think that's so important because everybody has different needs. And everybody has different ways of writing and being that work for them, right? And it really is important to find that process because that's how you set yourself up for success. And a lot of times people will know something about themselves that will point them in the right direction, but other times it's really a trial and error process. And so I'm curious for you, like, what was the writing process that finally did land for you, that finally did work for you? Would you be willing to share?
Thank you. Yes, I will. And it's important to say that this, whatever the process is different for everyone. And
that's right.
I encourage everyone to find their own and don't think you're failing if someone else's doesn't work. Okay. The one that ended up working for me was, it's what I needed. So I'm easily distractible. And thank God I had this date because I would have stopped writing a couple months in. But where I ended up was I had to get my pages done. I don't even remember how many pages there were. So I would begin each day by not allowing myself to look at any online anything, right? So I couldn't even open a browser. I would sit. Mm-hmm. I'd set my iPhone timer for 45 minutes, and I would write. And then it would go off, and for 15 minutes I could do whatever I wanted. I could surf. I could jump up and down. I could go for a walk, whatever. And then I would start, if needed, if I didn't have my pages, I would start the timer again for 45 more minutes. And this discipline really served me.
I love it. And I tend to find in the authors that I work with, because I work with authors, so, you know, that's what I do, I tend to find that people fall into two sort of general groups, and within those groups there's a lot of strategies for how to find the writing process that works for you. But typically people need either short, focused, disciplined time, or they need long periods of focused time. So it's some people, they need to really spend, you know, like they need to unplug for a weekend so that they can really get into it, because once they get into it and they get into that flow, it just really flows, and then they can just keep going for a really long time, and they need that space in time, like a longer period of time. And if they tried to do it for, you know, 20 minutes, an hour a day, they would never, never succeed, because they need a longer period of time to really sit with their topic and really get into it and really flow. And then other people, like me, I'll just point out, have attention spans that are shorter, or for whatever reason, need a shorter focus time. Like for me, if I was going to do so, I'd be incredibly ineffective spending a weekend writing a book, because I'd be doing this and then I'd want to do that, and then I'm, and my attention likes to shift quickly, and when I can focus my attention, it focuses and I can get a lot done, but then I need to shift. So I can't focus my attention for very long periods of time. So for me, and for people like me, you know, this kind of approach where you've got like a 45-minute time every day, or half an hour, or 1 hour, whatever the number is, doesn't actually matter. It's just sitting down and actually doing it. That's really, really effective. And I love that you're talking, that you're speaking to the fact that the writing process is so different for everyone, because that is absolutely true.
Yes. And just experiment until you find yours. That's really it. So you and I are kindred spirits where writing is concerned. Shorter periods and unfocused. And I think if you have a good outline and that, and you really understand where your book is going, I'm an outliner. It's easy to jump in and out of the book. It's easy to jump in and out.
Yeah. And like I tell people, I'm like, you have to spend time with your content. Your content develops. It's like a relationship. You know, your content develops as you spend time with it. And so it doesn't matter if you're spending short periods of time with it consistently or longer periods of time. The important thing is that you are spending time with your content, because as you do, even if you're not, even if what you're writing isn't brilliant that day, the more time you spend with your content, the more the content starts to emerge, is really what happens. And the more the clarity starts to come in, and then you get ideas. And it's all about spending time with your content. This, I get really excited about this. So I'm going to shut up now.
You're making me want to write my next book.
There you go. That's right. Oh my goodness! And look at the time. Well, I want to ask you one more question though. How long did the whole process take? You know, from when you started to write till you were holding the book in your hand. What did that process look like?
I think it was 8 months.
Great.
Yeah. And the last couple months
That's
were
good.
Just the back and forthness of it all, you know. But so the writing was probably thick. And it's because I had that framework and discipline of the project that really served me. So
I love it. And so what was the piece of support that you got that was really the most helpful to you in finishing your project?
Oh, and finishing? It was my I guess it's support, but it was my commitment to the date, my commitment to doing what I said I was going to do.
Brilliant.
Really mattered, because those last days, I mean, I took them seriously. The date was self-inflicted, and I honored it. You know, there were some days where I just wrote for hours and hours and hours so I could finish. And as I said, the finishing was very different than the writing. And those were longer periods of work. Yeah.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the finishing process. So I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm thinking like, are you talking writing in terms of like getting your draft, like getting all your thoughts on paper, and then the finishing was really going over it, fine-tuning it, making it flow, all of those things? Or were you talking about the finishing as like getting it designed and edited?
No. It was the finishing, making sure the material flowed, making sure that there were segues from chapter to chapter, making sure there was an ending, making sure that it was done. Instead of having a chapter here and a chapter there and a chapter there, to make it a book. I found that took a lot of attention and a lot of focus, and those days were long writing days, and at the time I had the flexibility to do that. So I spent eight hours just working on the book for days. Yeah, it was something.
Well, good for you. And, you know, you did it in 8 months, and I would say that that's quite quick to have it done in terms of the experience that I have with most authors. So congratulations on becoming an author. You did it.
Yay,
and,
thank
you.
Oh,
boy, look at the time. So I'm going to have to shut this down and say that's our show for the day. Thank you so much, Laura, for being our guest today. And thank you for everything that you shared with us. It's really helpful. Thank you. And also a special thanks to all of our listeners, and to let you know we are here every Monday at 9 and every Friday at 2. And our leading lady next Monday, July the 10th, will be Sherry Berry, CEO at Visage Pro USA. And she's going to be talking about making money in the mad world of manufacturing. I'm Bethany Kelly, host of Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Thank you for listening, and please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.